Good evening and welcome to Open Your Mind Internet Radio. You have myself, Alan James.
And you have myself, Stephen George. A very good evening to you all.
It's Sunday the 20th of January 2012 and we've had a bit of snow where we were. And what about your end? Have you got snow where you are?
On my end, and there's no snow on my end. No, it's as I just said to your lady wife when I came in this evening, it was very kind of strange that I've no snow. I'm 10 kilometres from you and there's nothing, there's no snow, and I drive to you. I know, like, it's on Walton's Mountain, but yeah, you've snow up here in the ground. It's unbelievable.
I know, yeah, I'll tell you, we're very high up here. Right, okay.
And that's the drugs.
that's the drugs. Okay, yeah. Just a natural high. It's a natural high. Okay, your guest on tonight is a chap called Simon Parks. He's a Labour councillor and an abductee. So we'll be getting Simon in on shortly in a few minutes when we go through a few bits and pieces. But let's go over the communication channels, Steve.
Absolutely. Communication channels are as follow. info@outymireland.com for your emails during the show or during the week if you have anything that you want to share with us. That's how to do that. We also have the guest book on the website as well, as we say. You can leave some messages in there for this generation, future generations, and anyone else who cares to look at it. We also have the chat facility on the website as well. There's a few people logged in there already, so I'll say a big hi to all of you. And I actually did wave my hand there.
He did wave his hand.
We need a webcam. No, we don't. Anyway, yeah, so you can log into the chat room. You can just go, no matter what stream you're listening to us on, navigate to oymireland.com. Top left-hand corner, you will see the chat, the live chat button. Just click on that. You can log in with your real name or a pseudonym, and you can join in the chat. You can also post questions there for our special guest this evening, Simon Parks. And lastly, if you want to give us a call on the landline, you can...
Give us a call on 046-927-1212.
046-927-1212 if you're ringing in from outside Republic of Ireland, 00353 in front of that. Alan.
I just want to say, on the telephone line idea and the telephone device, I mean, when we first started the show, we started raising donations. One of the things we first got was a telephone device to take telephone calls. And I have to say, our listeners have been quite shy phoning in, not wanting to phone into the show. And that's why we got it, guys, for people to phone into the show and speak to the guests. So, you know, if you feel you want to make the phone call and speak to our guests, by all means, make the phone call there and call into the show.
You could be eating those words later. There could be a barrage of phone calls.
It could be. It could be like Saturday's Swap Shop, you know. That's going back
what?
A few years.
Ah, here, come on.
Remember then?
Swap Shop? No, I don't. I'm too young for that.
Yeah, oh, of course you are, yeah. Right, okay, tomorrow, as we all know, well, everybody knows in the alternative media side of things, is Ireland's Independence Day. And yes, Ireland has an Independence Day. It's the 21st of January in the Mansion House. Everybody seems to know the American Independence Day.
Well, it's the 21st of January everywhere on the island. Not just in the Mansion House.
Not just in the Mansion House, but on the island. On the island as well. And everybody seems to know America's Independence Day, but nobody seems to know Ireland's Independence Day outside the alternative media. So it's the 21st of January. Now, myself and Steve got down last year and we took some video footage of one or two of the things that went on down there, and we put it up on our YouTube channel. Now, unfortunately, we're kicking ourselves, but we won't be able to get down tomorrow. And we've had a few emails from our listeners saying, are we going to go down? Because last year we went down, we met a few people, it was great fun. But tomorrow, unfortunately, we can't get down because of commitments. I mean, life just gets in the way. Steve is busy with work, he's snowed in. And, of course, I have a couple of appointments that I have to do, unfortunately. And there's no way getting around them. So, unfortunately, we're good at that we can't get down, but we will be there in spirit, I think, is the best way to do it. And hopefully, you know, Vin and the guys be down there in TNS and there'll be video footage, so we look forward to seeing that as well. But, so have great fun tomorrow, guys, down there, and we'll be with you in spirit.
And just to say, for anyone who's not aware, I mean, I can't, is it 1 p.m.? I'm not sure, I think it's a 1 p.m. Kickoff. I'm not 100% sure, though. I'll have to check that out. But anyone who's knocking about, make your way to the Mansion House tomorrow. Now, chances are you may not get in if you're kind of a late arrival. I think they only let a certain amount of people in. for kind of a walkthrough. But Billy Maguire, who turns the seal every year, Billy Maguire will come out onto the steps and he will make a speech. He will go back into the Mansion House. He will do what needs to be done. And I think last year there were some guest speakers there as well. There was a little bit of music. We also had some poetry read out by one of the lads from TNS, Sean Maguire. Hi, Sean. And that's always interesting when Sean gets up and does one of his recitals. It's always good stuff. And it'll be a good day. Well, I mean, it's not going to be like celebrations and, you know, floats and all this carry on. It won't be St. Patrick's Day, but for the day that's in it, you know, it'd be nice if you are, say, passing through the city centre, just pop up and say hello to some of the lads.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. Okay, so, you know, have a great day tomorrow, guys, and we look forward to seeing the video footage. If you're taking video footage of the day, that'd be fantastic. I'm sure a few of the TNS guys will be down there. Okay, let's move on. Now, according to the Irish Independent, there's an article during the week, and it said, thousands of television viewers countrywide could lose their picture or face serious interference from the rollout of new high-speed mobile phone networks, the 4G network, if you're not aware. Households who switch to the new Serviu digital service could lose channels and experience interference, especially if they live near a mast. The problems could arise when the new 4G mobile network, currently being rolled out, go live in a few months' time. This could leave Serviu consumers with aerials facing a bill of €100 each for filters to correct the problem. That's even though the government is enjoying a windfall of $850 million from the sale of airwave space for 4G networks to mobile phone companies. Experts are still unable to quantify how many homes will be affected here, but it is an identical problem to that in Britain, where 2 million homes are facing TV interference as their 4G network is rolled out. This suggests thousands of homes in Ireland could be affected. It will not hit customers who get their service from firms like UPC or Sky. A department spokesman confirmed that homes within 2 kilometres of a mobile base station were most likely to face disruption. Comreg, who is the communications regulator, said that the problem was one of radio frequency overload, where TV amplifiers were overwhelmed by very strong signals, such as those used in 4G mobile services. Now, myself and Steve know that in the communications game, this is called bleed over. That's what it's called, isn't it, Steve?
Yes, yeah. It is.
Okay, and it's just when you have a very, very strong signal cuts into another signal. So everybody who went out and got Serviu sets and Serviu boxes, it looks like you're going to have to spend another €100 on average to buy a filter to fix the problem, because the government can't be bothered to help you fix the problem, and it's their problem, and Pat Rabbit is the communications minister. And do they care about it? No.
No. That's actually the same thing that happened, the same scenario, when they rolled out for the Garda Síochána. That would be the equivalent of, the police in other countries, but they're the guardians of the peace here on Garda Síochána. When they rolled out the Tetra system for their communications, there's a village here, well, when we say this village, in County Meath, there's a town called Kells. Anyone who knows the Book of Kells may be familiar with Kells. But a lot of the people in that area, when the Tetra system was rolled out, they lost all their TV reception completely. And that was on the analog. This was before now they went to Serviu. But the analog was just wiped out completely. And they had to, I mean, I would have thought that because it was a government kind of venture, this Tetra system, that, you know, they would have paid for the filters. But yeah, it seems we've heard from a reliable source that people in the local area of Kells, close to this on the Garda Síochána station, they had to fork out, I don't know how much it was, but they had to buy their own filters because of the overload from this Tetra system on the Garda station.
Yeah, exactly. So you know, for people who don't bother watching TV, or if you have Sky, then that's fine. If you have a Serviu box, then if you're in within 2 kilometres of the mast, then you might need a filter. But there you go. Just thought I'd give you some information on that. Steve?
Yeah, you've probably ruined a lot of people's days now by saying that. I was going to say, it's in the Irish Times that the European Commission said it cannot rule out the possibility that Irish banks may need to... Are you listening? Are you listening? That Irish banks may need more capital, it said in documents released by Germany's finance minister. That's unbelievable. So I mean, we've bailed them out. I think Ireland is one of the high... have paid most of the money into these bank bailouts, and they need more. The banks are still evicting people from the homes. They're still trying to circumvent the law to get the law on their side to make it easier to evict people from their homes, and they're still not happy. Now, the people have bailed out the banks. The banks are evicting people from their homes, and now the banks need to be bailed out again.
Exactly.
Am I getting this right? Because it's you couldn't make this up, could you?
Yeah, well, there you go. The banks have to be bailed out again, so we have to give more money. But when we get Simon on, Simon's going to be talking to us about the Hadron Collider and why all this money's being sucked out of the system. So stay tuned, because it's quite interesting, okay?
Ooh.
Quite interesting. Okay, how's your week, Steve?
My week's been good. As I said last week, I'm kind of getting back into the swing of things with my little bit of research of an evening, you know, when I come in after work and everything is done and dusted, I can catch up on some of the links and some of the stories that I've been kind of following. For argument's sake, the Sandy Hook story, I'm still following that, and I'm still seeing documentaries and pieces of evidence that's kind of popping up left, right and centre. As I said to Alan yesterday, even mainstream media over in the good old US of A, mainstream media is now kind of questioning the official story. And if anyone remembers the likes of, say, 9/11, we also spoke about this yesterday. There was kind of mock maneuvers going on in one part, which is why the planes were unavailable to intercept the so-called hijack planes that hit the Twin Towers. Mock maneuvers were also going on at the same time that 7/7 happened in the UK. And believe it or believe it not, mock maneuvers simulating the exact same thing that, well, was supposed to have happened in Sandy Hook. Mock maneuvers were happening in a village not too far away. So, is it conspiracy? I don't know. Is it? I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. But as I say, bits and pieces are unfolding on a daily basis that even the mainstream media in the US of A, they're kind of raising an eyebrow, because they're seeing that things are possibly not adding up, and you know what they're getting drip fed as well is not making a whole hell of a lot of sense. But as I said a couple of weeks back, we kind of sit in the fence. We're not saying it didn't happen. If it did happen and it happened exactly as it was portrayed in the media, well, I have nothing but, you know, condolences for the families and both myself and Alan, and obviously everyone else who's listening in. We will share, you know, send condolences to the families. But if it didn't happen, wow, it would be horrible if it was another one of those so-called false flag operations where wool has been pulled over people's eyes again, for, you know, so the government can get guns off the streets or whatever other agenda that they have. But anyway, another story that was in the media here during the week about contaminated or tainted beef burgers with a horse DNA. And seemingly a total of 27 beef burger products were analysed by the Food Safety Authority of Ireland, the FSAI, and 10 of them, or 37%, tested positive for horse DNA.
No.
Yes, I kid you.
No. You're a vegetarian, so I bet you are laughing your head off at us carnivores.
I was. But, the FSAI said the meat came from two Irish processing plants, Liffey Meats and Silvercrest Foods, and one in the UK, Dalepack. Now that you mention it, Dalepack do some vegetarian burgers as well. I've eaten some of their products. And yes, I am a vegetarian and I'm proud of it. So I won't be trotting off. Oh, please. But, now, as I said, I was only saying that yesterday. I mentioned this in work during the week. It was kind of getting discussed in the canteen, and I said to one of the girls, "What if it didn't happen at all?" And she goes, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, what if there was no such thing as this horse DNA in any of the meat products, any of the burgers?" And she says, "Of course it bloody happened. It was on the news and it was in the paper." And I said, "Yeah, but have you seen any proof?" And she looked at me like I was some sort of an idiot, you know, because there I am again, thinking outside. Well, I'm not even thinking outside the box. I refuse to believe that there is a box. But, I said, well, what if it didn't happen? And this is kind of just BS, really. Mm. And she said, of course it happened. Blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, I said, it's amazing. And of course I was quoting Alan, because Alan has said this to me on numerous occasions, and it is absolutely true. But if it didn't happen, and it's in the media, people will believe it. If it did happen and it's not in the media, people won't believe it. I mean, if this thing about the Horseburgers was not on the papers, it wasn't in the news, and I was going in and I was saying to people, oh, did you hear about this? Nobody would believe it, would they?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
That's how controlled we are with the media.
Oh, absolutely.
And you want to mention fluoride, I believe, as well, something about fluoride.
Yes, how did you know that?
I'm just psychic, what can I say?
Oh, you must be. Lastly, in relation to the burgers, if anyone wants to have some horse-tainted DNA...
I did bring back burgers to Aldi during the week, by the way. And he said... He said, them burgers aren't affected. And I tried to kind of look at them with kind of one of them. Do I look stupid? So, yeah. He gave me a refund.
Well, come here, if anyone is looking for some of these burgers... I mean, I don't know, maybe horse is a more expensive delicacy, I don't know. But pop along to your local Tesco's, Dunstores, Lidl, Aldi, and also Iceland as well, and you can get some of those burgers. Anyway, yeah, in relation to fluoridated water, there's a lot happening on this, and kudos to Aisling Fitzgibbon. It is Fitzgibbon, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
I was having Fitzpatrick in my head there for a second. But she is doing a hell of a lot of work on the fluoride issue here in Ireland. Her website is thegirlagainstfluoride.com, and you can see everything that she's doing. And she's doing some—I won't say she's stripping off, but she has done some a photo shoot, basically called "Stripped of My Rights," where she carries some placards and she's stripped down to her skivvies. And those pictures are on the website. They're also on her Facebook page as well. But, some news during the week has come to light that fluoridated water must be treated as a medicine. I hope some of the Irish government are actually listening to this broadcast. It must be treated as a medicine and cannot be used to prepare food. That's a decision of the European Court of Justice in a landmark case dealing with the classification and regulation of functional drinks in member states of the European Community. Now, we all know how bad fluoride is. We all know, anyone who's listening on a regular basis, and anyone who listens to other, say, troop media radio stations, knows that fluoride is bad, bad stuff. We all know why it's there. We know what its function is. And I have to admit, it's doing what it says on the tin, and the government are quite happy with what fluoride is doing for them. That said, it is a medicine. It is getting put into the water. It needs to be stopped, and... with this decision from the European Court of Justice, it may go some way to maybe waking the Irish government up, and maybe we might see a little bit of action. Maybe Aisling and the rest of the team at the girlagainstfluoride.com, they may be able to have a celebration, you know. But what was going to say, there was something that says a while ago about the fluoride and baby formula. Not to use it. It must not be used in baby formula to make it up for infants. And then someone, I can't remember who it was, but there was a letter sent in to the Department of, I don't know, Insanity here in Ireland. I think it must have been them anyway. And I think a copy of the document from Declan Waugh, all the research he's done in relation to fluoride, was also sent in, and links to other pieces of information. I think there was a copy of a letter sent back, also put up on the internet, from the department here in Ireland. And they basically said, no, our research has shown that it's all safe and it's perfectly fine to make up baby formula. So, and I think, who was it said, it was, what's your man's name? Micheál Martin. He was a minister several years ago. I think he's a minister now, but several years ago he was only... I know a local TD or something, and he was on an interview, and he's on record as saying it should not be used for making up baby formula. But they're kind of doing a 360, and now our government are saying that it is. So you know, and we all know it's never actually been tested. There's never really been a study done on the effects of fluoride. Of course, it is linked to osteoporosis, osteoarthritis, and various different cancers. And if they were to turn around and take it out of the water now, could you imagine the influx of claims?
Big time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Time. Yeah, big time. Maybe that's why they don't want to do it. Oh, they know the litigation alone be it like billions.
Yeah,
probably, you know?
I put money in. Yeah. Anyway, how's your week?
Well, my week has been just a few things I want to talk about there. Just about an article that was in the Irish Independent again during the week, that solicitors have raked up a higher number of judgments for failure to repay borrowings than any other profession. So solicitors have raked up more judgments than the man on the street, apparently. A total of 92.4 million in judgments was made against solicitors last year for the non-payment of debt. Figures compiled by Stubbs Gazette show more than builders, would you believe? This is despite the fact that they are officers of the court. This is more than 630% higher than the value of the judgments issued against solicitors in 2011, figures seen by the Irish Independent. So basically, because the solicitors, they got greedy, the property boom, they went out and got loads of money and they started getting properties, and it's all backfired. So solicitors are actually in more trouble than we are. I'll be curious to see how the system and the old boys club sorts the solicitors out, you know?
They'll watch each other's back.
You reckon there'll be a bit of a nudge, wink going on there, you know?
Yes, there will. Of course there will.
There'll be something going on. Okay, and the last thing on the list before we get Simon in is just to say, I mean, I'm sure you've been watching the news and you heard about it. The four big companies that go and bang, which is HMV, Blockbuster. Blockbusters are really, I think, over in the UK. They're not over here. Blockbuster's over here.
That's an interesting question.
No, I think Blockbuster in the UK. Jessup's are definitely in the UK. It's like a camera shop. They do all kind of camera stuff. That started in 1935. And I used to go into Jessup's over there in the UK.
In 1935?
No. Yeah. I'm not that old. And Comet, which is an electrical retailer, they've gone bang as well. So that's four big major companies in the UK already gone bang. And, you know, there's going to be more to come. There's definitely going to be more to come down the line. And I don't know where it's going to lead, to be honest with you, because it all has a detrimental knock-on effect. It's dominoes. And, you know, some shops...
The pizza place, are they gone too?
Yeah, they might be gone. They might be gone. Okay, less of the humour. I'll see somebody's tiddling Steve's funny bone tonight, I think.
I think I'm just sitting on something.
Yeah. But it's a domino effect. And even if you're further down the line, I mean, they're all interrelated. They're all suppliers. They all supply each other, you know, one way or another. So, you know, I just see an awful lot more happening this year. I'd like to think we're going to reverse that, but let's see what happens, I think. Let's see what happens. Okay, without further ado, we're going to bring in our guest tonight, a chap called Simon Parks. Good evening, Simon. How are you?
Good evening. I'm very well, thank you.
Great. Simon, thanks for coming on to the show. I'm just going to do a quick kind of roundup on your details. Basically, you're an elected Labour Party councillor in the UK. You've been visited by interdimensional and extra-dimensional entities since you were very young. Your mother worked for the MI5 and your grandfather worked for MI6. So, I mean, that's some resume, I think. You know, that's something else. Can you elaborate a bit more on your background and how this came about, and did it all tie in, or why are they coming and abducting you? Why do they want you, and how did this all kind of start happening?
Well, you know what? I'm really impressed with you because you didn't say extraterrestrial or ET. You actually used the right terminology, which is interdimensional or extra-dimensional beings. Normally, when I speak to members of the public who are not familiar with this subject, I just use the word ET because everybody knows ET. So, hey, well done to you. My mother worked for MI5. Her job was to type up documents that arrived in German from West Germany, and they all related to crashed UFO. She had a handler, his name was Paul Dunlop, and he would turn up with these documents. He would translate them from German into English on a spool of tape, and then my mother would type them up. She worked at home, she would do that. And she did it from 1971 until 1979. The documents would have in red ink on the top of them, they'd say secret, top secret, very top secret, or in purple ink, extremely top secret. And she would work literally right round the clock when she had the very, very extremely top secret documents. And then she'd go at lunchtime, she'd leave her papers on the desk and she'd go into the kitchen. And I would read on Saturday and Sunday because I wasn't at school, and I would read what she'd written. The sad thing is, after 9 or 10 years of doing it, she became an alcoholic. She just could not come to terms with what she was typing out. She'd had a number of conversations with the guys that had come and gone, and, you know, she was saying, well, you know, my government's lying to me. And the reply was, well, you know, you're the government now, because you're doing the work for the government. And it got such a state that she went and said, look, I want out. I've had enough of it. I just can't stand it. You promised me my old job back. And, yeah, they were as good as their word. They gave her her old job back. She went back to her old job, and within 2 weeks, she was dead. My grandfather, he was a prominent Mason. He was a high-ranking British diplomat. He was a British consul, and he was based at the British Embassy in India. He was highly awarded. He had the OBE, the MBE, the CBE. He was offered a knighthood to make him Sir, but he fell out with the then Prime Minister, Winston Churchill, and didn't take that. He was a high-ranking Mason, but he bought himself out of that, and he worked for what became MI6.
Well, you just said there that he bought himself out. Now, you had down, on your details, you say he was with the White Illuminati.
Correct.
Now, how can you buy yourself out of the elite?
No, he bought himself out of the Masons, the organization, the structure. He didn't buy himself out of the top brass. So he was no longer going into the lodge. He was no longer meeting in the Masonic chapel.
Okay.
However, he was still having meetings with the elite. Because when he bought himself out of the Masons, and he said, I no longer want to, you know, do this British government crap, excuse me, being the ambassador's assistant, he was then offered to go to the United Nations, and my grandfather then was the British appointee to the United Nations. So he didn't leave the White Illuminati, but he actually left the structure of the Masons.
Right, okay. And the whole abduction thing with you,
yes.
Why is that happening?
Right, well, I don't refer to it as an abductee. When I first really faced up to my truth, I thought I was an abductee, and then I realised, no, that doesn't fit me. But neither does a contactee. There's a guy who's done a number of YouTube videos in America called Alex Collier, and for me, I think he's the archetypal contactee. So I don't feel I fall into either of those brackets, so I prefer the word experiencer, because sometimes when the entities arrive, they will project something into your mind, and it's so real that you think you're actually doing it or you're part of it, but in reality this being is perhaps only standing about a meter in front of you and is just projecting stuff into your head. Why me? It's generally genetics. My mother's blood group was rhesus negative. My father's was rhesus positive. It's mainly to do with your history of your genetics in your body, although it's harder for Westerners to get to grips with. We talk about the soul. Those people who are familiar with the Bible will know that the soul is mentioned quite a lot. Here in England, you'd be hard-pressed to find anybody who understood what the soul was. But when I do radio shows and I talk to people from Eastern countries, who perhaps study the Quran and things like that, they're very familiar with the concept of soul and incarnating. So I think personally it's to do with the genetics of your physical body and to do with your soul.
Okay. And why do they want to harvest your genetics?
The whole agenda of the entities that I see is literally to try to have a very successful human-alien hybrid. As it stands, until very recently, hybrids they don't last very long on the Earth, perhaps 15 to 20 years. And although the aliens have an enormous technology, and you'd think that by now they would have had it sorted out, it's so complex that it's taken them this length of time to actually do that. So they've been looking for people on the planet whose genetics give them the best option or best opportunity to create human alien hybrids for such a time as perhaps the Earth is depopulated.
Wow. Well, let's get into that for a minute. We're going to sidetrack away from the interdimensional beings for a minute. And let's really talk about what's happening now, the whole 21st of December, because there's a lot of people were expecting something and there was nothing happening. And I'm sure you have a heads up. You can give us a heads up on the 21st of December and what's planned. Can we go into that?
Yes, by all means. I mean, you make a statement very broadly there. You say nothing happened. I actually would disagree with you. I think an awful lot happened. The problem is that we live on a physical world. We go to school and we're taught that if you can't see it and you can't touch it, it's not real. Unless, of course, it's God. God's okay. You don't have to see God or touch God because that's religion. But anything that's not religion that you can't see and touch can't be real. On the 21st of December, there was a subtle change. If you think of the news breaking regarding the Jimmy Savile awful sex cases in England, that had been hidden for over 40 years, simply because people chose to hide it. I don't care what anybody says. People in power knew about it, that's my belief, and they chose to hide it. But as we approached the turn of last year, an awful lot of things that had been hidden started to come out. Here in England, last week, the news was released that a girl, schoolgirl, who was murdered in 1954, the police had just gone and dug up her grave. So there are an awful lot of middle-ranking people who have towed the line, done what they've been told, don't ask questions, keep your head down. That's changing. People are now saying, I'm not prepared to go along with that anymore. And I think as these months develop, we will see more and more things coming out of the woodwork as people become uncomfortable with sitting on the fence and they'll be more truthful. So on the 21st of December, I believe there was a subtle change. There was no bright flash in the sky. The earth didn't shake. It wasn't that type of happening.
Okay, I totally agree with you there. Maybe it was a wrong statement to make. From where I'm sitting and where Steve's sitting, obviously we, as just, you know, normal people, didn't see anything or feel anything, but that doesn't mean that nothing happened. It's just from our perspective, we didn't see anything. But you're right there, because there's obviously subtle changes have taken place. There is this kind of, I won't say, well, is it? Would you call it a massive awakening? But people are beginning to shed light on a lot of things that were hidden for a long time, and now it's all coming out. Even earlier on today, we sent out some web links from OIM, and one of the videos is from a chap called Michael Shrimpton, who was talking about Ted Heath and exposing Ted Heath as a paedophile.
Yes.
And this is all beginning to come out now. Now, obviously, we have to question it for the simple reason being, are they the red herrings? Are they the people lower down the chain? I mean, turning around and saying somebody's, like, Ted Heath is dead, so nothing's going to happen. So are they being sacrificed to protect the people at the top?
That's a really, really good point. I mean, between 1971 and 1979, when my mother worked for MI5, the subject of Ted Heath came up. And in 1974... I overheard a conversation where it was absolutely clearly stated that Ted Heath was a paedophile, but he was part of the Dark Illuminati. He was part of the very top group, and the guy from MI5 was saying, we can't touch him, but he made a joke about, I wouldn't have my kids with him. These are stuff that's been known by people in power and have kept quiet on it. Now, only certain people are being thrown to the wolves. The real people with the great power, they've put a lot of distance between themselves. I think actually even David Icke came out and made the statement that during the time that Princess Diana of Wales and her husband were going through a marriage breakup, Jimmy Savile was actually asked by the Queen to intercede to see if he could put them right. And anybody with an ounce of brain would say, why on earth is a Top of the Pops Radio 1 host being asked by the Queen to act in such an intermediary way. And the fact was that Jimmy Savile was extremely high up in that group, and as a result of that, he was never going to be thrown to the wolves until he was dead. But the people at the very top, they're still in positions of power.
Yeah, well, you know, to be honest with you, I just can't see Princess Di and Prince Charles, Jim will fix it badge, you know, Jim fix it for me, to be honest with you. But maybe just people's sinister means, because he was one of these people that did procure kids for and children for the higher-ups. And maybe they all got a badge saying, Jim fixed it for me, I don't know. But yes, he was a nasty piece of work, and it's all coming out now. But let's just go back a little bit to December. Now, when we first talked, we had a quick conversation during the week, and you were talking about the Hadron Collider and how important this is and what this really means and why the economy and all the money's been sucked out of the system or been taken from us under the guise that it's austerity. Do you want to go more into detail about how serious this Hadron Collider is and what it's all about?
Sure. Your listeners would have to not suspend disbelief, but they would have to accept what I say to them, that there are a group of, I'll call them entities, on this planet who don't travel in spaceships. That's very old-fashioned. But they're able to use a portal or a dimension tunnel that takes them back to their home world. Some people call them the Anunnaki. I refer to them as the Anu. And when 2012 came along, and December, the end of December, this Earth was in the very centre, and the portal was due to close. The only way that they could prevent that was to develop a massive machine. So they chose to build on the Swiss-French border. It's called the CERN device, or the Hadron Collider. It's officially cost $2 billion. It actually cost $4 billion. And it was due to operate between the 17th of December 2012 and the 22nd of December, so over the period that we were expecting the changes. And it was quite imperative that this device did not operate. It was extremely important that it failed to operate. It didn't operate. Someone has leaked me, and I'm happy to share it with you, a screenshot from one of the computers at the facility, showing that it had failed from the 17th of December through to the 22nd, and the damage was so great that they weren't in a position to put it right until January this year. Because it failed, the portal closed. And if you go onto Google or you go research, you'll find them now scrabbling around to build a new one. They are actually now proposing to build a new Hadron Collider, and get this, with a circumference of 50 miles, officially to cost something between 10 and 25 billion, but will probably cost upwards towards the 50 billion mark. And it must be constructed by 2015, because they know, just as I know, that in 2016 it's the very last chance to re-establish the portal. We all live in a world where money, unfortunately, is king, and nobody goes to somebody and says, I'll give you this money and I don't want anything back, unless you're a friend and you loan the money. But in business, you say, if I give you this, what will you give back to me? So there's no private company that's funding this Hadron Collider. The Americans are going to have to pay for a large proportion of it, but they are leaning on every industrialized nation of the world to raid their black budgets to send cash to build this. And, you know, what country would say, we'll give you £1 billion for this machine, but we're not going to get anything back from it? It just doesn't happen. And the only way it's happening is because the very powerful American state is saying to people, right, you are going to have to fund this, because otherwise we, the Americans, will turn against you. So all the countries have agreed to fund this huge next lot of money. I think the only way they can do it is print. They'll just have to print worthless money. So that's the situation with the Hadron Collider.
But the actual knock-on effect, obviously, of printing money is inflation.
Yes, absolutely, but I don't think they care about that. They just want this machine up and running. That's the priority. They've said 2015, and I mean, for heaven's sake, it's 2013 now. That gives them 3 years to build something 50 miles across. They're pushing it. They really are pushing it. They're that desperate.
So everything that's going on now, or the majority of things regarding financial situations globally, is all for sucking the money out of the system to pay for this.
Two things. First of all, if you think of the elite bloodlines that run this world, they have always wanted to pass down an empire to their children. That's a natural thing to do. You build up a big business, you want to pass it on to your children. Well, if that isn't going to happen, what's the point in investing in a business? And what happened was all the guys in the know, the very, very huge, the Rothschilds, all the very powerful people, pulled their money out of the system and invested it in things like gold, diamonds. I mean, last year the Queen was buying loads of land in Australia that you can grow wheat, grow food on. So these people know something's coming. So you had a proportion of people pulling their money out of the system just to do something else with it. That created a problem. And now you've got money being whooshed out of the system to pay for this huge device and other black projects which are running in parallel with this. It's a last ditch attempt to save these people's necks.
And what happens if they don't succeed? The portal closes, and what happens?
Each day that goes by, each month that goes by, people all over the world are becoming less and less impressed with the people who govern them. People are not trusting what they're being told. They're actually saying, prove it. You know, why are you doing it? Why this way? Isn't there a better way? I don't think that's right. Whereas 25 years ago, it was yes, sir, no, sir, three bags full, sir. Mm. So these people who are in power, this elite, they realize that the situation is turning against them. And my hope is that I call them the dark wizards. That's my word for them, the dark elite. I hope they're thrown out of office. I hope that the majority of soldiers in the major countries, of the Americans particularly, do not carry out any orders they're given that could adversely affect the citizens. There's a very interesting case with Hillary Clinton, and I think that's the very beginnings of a system that is beginning to crack up.
Yes. Tell us about, you did mention this, and we just touched base on it a little bit, but tell us more about this Hillary Clinton thing you were talking about.
Well, if you look at the mainstream news, first of all, Hillary Clinton supposedly fainted in Congress, and then 2 to 3 days later, she was taken to hospital with a blood clot. So that's not what I understood to have happened. About 3 weeks after this, the Jewish news agency and, of all places, the Iranian news agency carried an article saying that Hillary Clinton's aeroplane, with Hillary Clinton on board and a group of bodyguards who would be Navy SEALs, had crash-landed in an airport in Iran on a secret mission. And that's all they'd said. The Americans then went into absolute panic because they told everybody that Hillary Clinton has never been off American soil over that time and that she was, you know, in hospital with a blood clot. What I was told was that she was on a special mission to Iran because, I don't know if you're aware, there's an Iranian scientist who's claims to have invented free energy or rediscovered free energy, and he sent the plans of this to the Belgian embassy and his own government in Iran. And whether this is true or not, I don't know. But what I do know is that Hillary Clinton was off to speak not to the religious leader of Iran, but to the prime minister of Iran to ask to have this man shut up so that he couldn't do what he was supposed to be doing. And here's where it gets extremely interesting. The head of her bodyguard SEAL attempted to kill her and actually shot her, then attempted to hijack the aeroplane. He was then shot by the other bodyguards. The plane slewed off the runway, turned on its side, one wheel broke, They were all taken to local hospitals. The Americans didn't want them in Iranian hospitals, got them out back to Iran, back to America from Iran. And Hillary Clinton was in a very bad way in hospital. And the guy, I can't remember his name now, but you can find it on the internet, he was a commander who was killed. The Americans are now saying this man committed suicide, and not anywhere in Iran, but actually in his base back in America. So, you know, they're having to struggle now because the head of Hillary Clinton's bodyguard is dead, and they declare that he is dead, but they're saying he committed suicide. So they're just coming out with lie after lie after lie, and the fact of the matter is that the elite of this world are in a real pickle. They are really struggling, and they don't know how to get out of the situation they're in.
And how does that work with the likes of air governments like the UK government and the Irish government? I mean, I know they're pawns, but how much does Cameron know? How much does Enda Kenny know about what's going on?
Well, your government actually is far more independent, and all strength to them.
I wouldn't go that far, Simon.
Oh, compared to the British government, they are. You had an interesting bit of a difficult time between the head of the Roman Catholic Church and one of your politicians not so long ago. So your politicians sometimes are prepared to speak out. Cameron, interestingly enough, before he was elected, like so many of these politicians, made a claim that he would investigate UFOs. It was one of his claims before election, just like Obama made the claim. And hey-ho, Cameron was elected and never even brought the subject up. Obama was elected, never even brought the subject up. The only person who did, actually, apart from JF Kennedy, was President Carter, who actually brought the subject up and was prepared to go public until they got him into a room with, I think he was very religious, Carter, and basically the head of whichever church Carter was involved in, said if you go public with the alien agenda, it will destroy religion in the world. And so Carter was just shut up on it. So most politicians, once they get into power and they've made all these false promises, they quickly renege on them.
Well, we're used to that over here. That's one thing we're pretty used to over here, politicians lying as soon as they get in. Before we go over to the questions, Simon, we have a few questions that have come in. Just going back to the Hadron Collider. Now, I have heard this mentioned in other areas of the alternative media regarding the Hadron Collider and also the Archons. And more this, whether you want to call them reptilian or whatever, but they're coming into the public arena more so these days than ever. Everybody seems to be talking about them. But you said that the difference between you and the likes of, say, David Icke and other people is that you're getting it first hand. Can you explain what you mean by that?
Yes. Well, first of all, I want to make it public that I've got an awful lot of respect for David Icke.
As we do. Yeah,
fine. But I want that on the record that I think that he's a very brave man. I think that the majority of what he comes out with is absolutely true. But David Icke gets most of his stuff, I believe, from whistleblowers, and that's good. He has a team of people who go out and search the internet for him and pick up stories. They validate those stories, and if they're found to be valid, they'll pass that information back to him, and then he'll. You know, put that together, and I don't have a problem with that. I'm on a website that was created by a guy who was part of Project Camelot. His name is Bill Ryan, and Bill Ryan was very kind to let me go onto his website. And in December of this year, I actually wrote and have a blog saying about the Hadron Collider. So I was the very first person to talk about it. And, you know, it's there on Bill Ryan's site, which is called Avalon. And I got that because I specifically had a conversation with one of the interdimensional entities that have been coming to collect me ever since I was a very small child. And we often talk about how the Earth is going. We refer to them as timelines. The Earth has many options, or humanity has many options. Sometimes it jumps time tracks. might be on course for a bit of a disaster, and then things can be pulled back and it'll lop onto another track which is a bit more favourable. And he was the one that explained to me what the purpose of the Hadron Collider was, and why it had to be taken out, basically.
Okay, well, what we have, Simon, is that we have a few questions which we'll go over. We'll go over to Steve for the questions. Steve?
Okay.
Yeah, very interesting so far. There's a lot of people on the chat, and they're kind of discussing some issues among themselves there, and they're basically sticking in some comments as well. I have a comment first, Simon, and then a question. The comment is from Lord Weber, one of our regulars here.
Okay.
On OAM, and he comments that Ernest Thomas Sinton Walton, that's a big long name, 1903 to 1995, was an Irish physicist and Nobel laureate for his work with John Cockcroft with atom-smashing experiments done at Cambridge University in the early 1930s. So obviously this smashing of the atom, it's been going on for a while. I don't know if you want to comment on that one before I move on to the question.
I don't really understand what you're saying. I think what I would say is that the principle of it has been going on for a very long time, but never on such a wide scale. Once they understood the ability to alter time and to change outcomes, they realized they needed it on a massive scale. And you had to find an area where geologically it wasn't going to cause an earthquake or a massive flood. So the reason they went for the Swiss-French border is because of the bedrock is so strong that it could take this machinery. And also there's very, very, very few people living in that area. So yes, the fact of the matter is, think of Tesla. That was before the Second World War. There have been an awful lot of very gifted people who have stumbled or re-stumbled on old science. But of course, once something's found like that, the powers that be don't want individuals to have that power. So what they either do is they either buy them out, get them to work for them, or they have a terrible car accident.
Yeah, unfortunately, both Alan and I were involved in radio communications, and we always hear people, and they kind of think Marconi is the father of radio, but when you actually do the research and you realise that, you know, as you mentioned his name there, Tesla, Nikola Tesla, he was actually the father of the radio as we know it, but because he died kind of penniless, no one really knows much about him. But I'll just move on to the question anyway, Simon.
Sure.
It's from one of the listeners on TNS Radio, and they're wondering, can you ask Simon, please, about the projections into his head and what it looked like?
You're talking about when I was speaking earlier. Is that what the question
would
be?
Yeah.
Okay. This would be probably November of last year. The entity entered the bedroom, and the next thing I knew, I appeared to be floating in the sky, and what I can only describe as a sort of a Tibetan landscape. There were these pagodas, mountains with snow on, and everything was peaceful. There wasn't a human in sight. There was nothing. And there was a veranda or railings to the left of me, and the entity is standing there. And I sort of turned to the entity, and in my mind I said, this isn't really happening, is it? This is just being put into my mind. And he said, yeah, this is correct. And I said, well, I don't want this. I don't want false feelings. It's either got to really happen or not. Why have you done this to me? And he said, because I wanted to give you freedom and space and time to think, the peace and the quiet. So in other words, he was saying, I'm sticking you in this environment where you can look at these beautiful mountains. There's no buses, there's no noise, there's no phones ringing, there's nothing like that. It's just peace and quiet, and you can have some time for contemplation. But I said, I don't want that. That's false. I only want real things to happen. And then, boom, straight away, back. It's all gone. I'm standing there. He's standing there in about a meter and a bit in front of me. And he said to me, have I done wrong? And I said, well, I don't want false impressions. I want only to experience the real things. What are we going to do now? And he said, well, we have something to do. So that's something that I picked up because as an older guy now, and I've been through this many times, I can understand why they do it, but it's wrong because you take it as a real happening, and plenty of people who are experiences have told me of something, and I think to myself, I wonder if you really did do that, or whether it was just a mental projection.
Yeah, I think we've actually heard, and this is just kind of something Alan and I discussed, I think it may have been a week ago now, and we've kind of heard that there are such technologies that exist and could be possibly used by governments for sinister means that can actually kind of make this, what you're describing, they can actually make that happen, where they can beam a light something at someone's head and make them experience something and make them do or act or perform in a certain way. How do you know that wasn't, say, something that was happening to you?
It's a good point, because for riot control in America, the Americans now for 5 years have had a device which is like a dish, which sits on top of an armored car and emits an extremely ultra-frequency high sound, which burns the skin. And in fact, if you go on YouTube, you can actually see the official video of that. And the Americans have that on standby for when they get any really difficult riots. So they've been projecting with weapons that project energy. I know for a fact that the Metropolitan Police, when they are flying helicopters over demonstrations, have a device which pulses out frequencies which actually calm a crowd down. And that's when they were what was called kettling. So if there was a big demonstration in the centre of London, they would get everybody together and not let them out. And they would just bombard them with these waves from a helicopter, keep them there for a couple of hours, and it would actually gently, gently calm them down, although the mob didn't actually realise that. In terms of what we might call military intervention with experiences, I think possibly that's where your question's coming from. When humans are involved, they tend to have an agenda. When a human wants to gain something, he will put false images into your head or ideas into your head. When they find a real experiencer, what they want is to learn about the weapons that the alien craft have. They want to learn about the power plants. And so what they'll try and do is either infiltrate local gatherings of UFO clubs or conferences, and they will attempt to build up a picture of the individuals there to find out who is actually genuine and who's, you know, just along for the ride. But no, in this instance, this was... I'm very familiar with this being. It's been around me for a long time. But your question is very valid.
Okay, that's a good answer. Another one then. Can you ask Simon why the aliens are having a war with us over the Antarctic?
Right. I don't think the aliens are having a war with us. We could bring the Falklands into this as well. There is a material which is under the seabed, survives particularly well when it's completely frozen, which is a substance that the British government has a great knowledge of. When I say the British government, I mean the military,
yeah,
not the politicians. And this substance can be found in the Antarctic, and every major country in the world that understands this issue wants to stick a flag somewhere along there to claim this for themselves.
And that's been happening during the week. They've been all slicing up the Antarctic.
Yes.
And Argentina...
It's valueless.
Yeah.
Because it's ice, and there isn't much technology that can break through the ice to get to the so-called gold or silver or whatever oil that might be underneath. It's nothing to do with that. It's to do with another material. And they don't need to get it. They just need to hold a piece of land and say, this is my bit of land, you can't come and dig it up. It's just basically them positioning themselves.
Okay, one of the things I'd like to touch base on, well, two kind of questions linked into what, you know, the whole, the freedom and the agenda, the alien agenda, and I suppose the New World Order, for want of a better word. Obviously, the interdimensional beings say we have free will and we can, you know, it's up to us what way we do things. But
yes.
My opinion on this, and this is just my opinion, is that we don't have free will. because their lives have been controlled even before we have been born, maybe for centuries. So we have free will to go down the road and, you know, go to the local shop. But as for doing anything else, we have been controlled. Mankind has been controlled for an awful long time.
Do you mean like we do have, just as going back to say what was said last week with Neil Sanders, our thoughts are not our own, but we do have free will, but someone else has kind of set the parameters.
Yeah.
So we have free will inside of a set of parameters that are set not by us.
Well, it goes back to the sheep in the field. The sheep is free until he goes off to the edge and finds there's a bush to stop him from going anywhere else. So we have this perception of freedom, unlimited freedom, in the parameters that were given by these people. So when I have heard this before from, you know, interdimensional beings saying, and even from a spiritual point of view, well, you have free will. No, we don't have free will, because we are controlled and have been for a long time. And this is the frustrating part, because people in the alternative media, you know, we do this because we want to wake people up. We feel we have a moral responsibility to educate people about what's going on. And yet we struggle and struggle and struggle, trying to do what we can, and yet the people who are destroying the planet, destroying the world, and killing people have all the wealth and have all the money, and we are just struggling to do what we can. And so when the interdimensional beings come and say that, I don't really, you know, I pander to that excuse, you know. That's just my own personal opinion.
I can't better your description. I agree with it 100%. It's like if I gave you a revolver and said, in your right hand you hold a feather. If you choose, you can shoot yourself and die, or you can drop the feather. What would you prefer to do? Mm. And you could say, I'd much rather prefer to drop the feather. And they would say, yeah, you've got free will. You see, you've made a choice. So absolutely, you are absolutely right. The entities from the fourth frequency, that's how they refer to themselves, the fourth frequency, but you might call it the fourth dimension, have interfered in human happenings right back before the Sumerian civilization. For thousands of years, humanity has been pushed, cajoled, changed, altered by these beings. There are other beings that live in higher dimensions who wouldn't dream of doing that. So yes, there is no such thing as free will in the wider sense, but in a local sense, yes, there is free will.
But okay, so then that begs the question, if these beings are in the fourth, let's say the fourth dimension, and they are manipulating our system, and we don't have free will, surely the prime directive, if you want to call it that, has been affected, and these higher beings should be coming in and saying, hang on a minute, you can't do that.
For thousands of years, this sounds very Star Trek, doesn't it? The prime directive was no interference. But the beings from the fourth dimension, and these are particularly the Draconis, the Draconian reptilians, what we call in Britain the mantids, and the Americans refer to as the mantis, and also the greys. There are many different sorts of greys, but we'll talk about just the usual little greys with the big wraparound eyes, sometimes called the program life forms, because many of them don't contain a soul. They are just automatic robots. Have been interfering for such a long time. And early last year, there was a huge sea change, and a group of other beings from a higher realm decided enough was enough. And I think the argument is, how can humanity make a trusted decision when it doesn't have all the facts to its fingertips? How can you ask somebody to make a decision when they don't have all the truth in front of them? So a war has been going on above the earth, on the earth, and in the earth, to balance the playing field, not to win the war for you guys, not to make it so that all humans can just sit back in their armchair and say, it's all been done for us. No, that's not the case. It's about balancing the level playing field. And once it's balanced, then you guys have got to go and do the rest of it.
Well, I think that will happen. I think, to be honest with you, the way things are going at the moment and the awakening on the planet, that will happen. But we do need a helping hand from these other beings, if that's the case, because it's not a level playing field at the moment and hasn't been for such a long time. And that's what we need. We need to have the facilities. I mean, we're not asking them to come and build a house for us, but they can give us the tools so we can go and do it ourselves.
Yes, I agree with you, and that's what's happening. I think the next few months are going to be absolutely pivotal.
What do you think about Project Bluebeam?
Project Bluebeam is it's not the full truth of the matter. Right back in the days of Fidel Castro and the days of the Cuban Missile Crisis, which was 62-63, the Americans had a plan to send a very primitive form of holographic image up into the sky above Havana, the city of Cuba, to show the Virgin Mary, the Blessed Virgin Mary, and to send a message out saying, turn against Fidel Castro. And this was an American military plan, and when the politicians heard about it, they panicked and pulled it. What we have orbiting above the Earth is what's called the International Space Station, with an extremely large camera. You're aware of chemtrails. What a lot of people don't understand with chemtrails is that they actually contain very, very minute pieces of metal, which, if you shine a holographic beam onto them when they've diffused out around the atmosphere, will carry a holographic picture, and it'll look really, really good, really 3D. So yes, it's another weapon that the elite have if they wish to stage some form of false flag event.
Well, we did mention this on the show a while ago, that they found that the same chemical found in holographic projectors was the same chemical found in chemtrails.
Yes, that wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, which would kind of explain that as well. Steve, do you have a question there that you want to...
No, I don't actually have a question, but I think that is something, as you said, that we did hear about before, about the chemtrails. But my question actually, in relation to that, these metal particles that are kind of getting thrown up into the atmosphere, if they're planning to show us something, broadcast a hologram or something, well then that would make perfect sense. But how long would those particles stay in the atmosphere? I mean, does the atmosphere have to be coated? When the chemtrails are spraying these particles, do the particles themselves hang around? When the cloud formation or the trail disappears, these little particles, do they hang around, and are they just kind of putting more and more and more up there to make a better screen? Or do they kind of hover around in the atmosphere for a while, and then do they fall out of the atmosphere? Do they disappear? Do they go up into space, or what happens to them? Because chemtrails have been around for a long, long time, but yet we haven't seen any... Well, actually, no, I'm going to correct myself. I was going to say we haven't seen any holographic technology, but then again, the conversation we had last week about 9/11, there's quite a school of thought that saying the planes hitting the buildings was actually holographic technology, and that the buildings were blown up and this projection was projected into the atmosphere for people to see?
It's an excellent question. What the elite will do is saturate a part of the Earth with chemtrails, and then certain of the spy satellites which are orbiting the Earth will monitor by bouncing some form of beam off it, and they monitor just how long in that particular type of atmosphere those chemicals, those bits of aluminium or metal, will actually last. So they can understand that in a type of cloud system, or when the wind is blowing from the north, or whatever the speed is, just how long a window of opportunity they have. So they'll go out and they'll spray a certain area and then monitor it for how many weeks it's, and then they'll find the optimum moment that you could shine something on that. So a lot of what you're seeing is actually just them testing to get ready if they need to do it. On the holographic, I don't know if you're aware, but Samsung have come up with the first holographic television. And in America, they are getting ready to make the first holographic cinema. And I was actually chatting to one of the senior executives of Samsung just before Christmas, and he was saying to me that it is the death of the television room. In your home, you have a room that has the television in it, and lots of people turn the chairs to face the television. Well, the holographic television of the future will just be a plate that you carry about and you place on the floor, and then it will project upwards. So if it's being released into the civilian world, you can be absolutely certain that the military have developed it to an extremely high level.
So just when people are starting to kind of become accustomed to 3D TV...
Yeah, never mind 3D. Yeah. That's old hat now.
Well, thank God for that, Simon, because I couldn't afford a 3D TV, and now I'm going to have to save up even more money for my holographic TV.
I don't know whether I'll be going down that road either. So, just peddling back a little bit, Stephen has another question for you there, but just peddling back a bit, with the elite at the moment, what is their agenda? I mean, you were saying that they're struggling now, they're clutching at straws. This year is going to be quite pivotal. What do you feel is going to happen for this year? I mean, I think a lot of people are looking at 2013 saying this is going to be the making or breaking of getting things done.
You know when I call famous contactees come out and they make a date and they, oh yes, this is going to happen on this date. And then what happens is that the date comes and goes, and then these people sort of have to hide in a corner because they've come out and said that. And you know, they've come out and said it for a reason. They've actually believed it, or more likely, they've been fed incorrect information deliberately to make them look fools. And that often happens. But the elite have got to do something. They are in a very precarious position. I am expecting, I wouldn't be the first to say this, but I am expecting a false flag alien invasion within the next 12 months. And I'm going to tell you that what they'll do is they'll bring out their first generation of back-engineered triangular craft. They'll also hoik out a few of the old Greys, program life forms. And just like 9/11, when every independent person was supposed to be phoning into the television station telling you what they'd seen. And when you actually looked at it, they were all employees of different television stations or government employees. I think there was only one person who was actually an ordinary individual. Everybody else worked for the media. And that's going to be the same thing if they go down this road. And there'll be a host of phone calls in saying, I saw this, I saw that. Joe Bloggs, living on number 5 King Street, Queen Street, and in reality they'll just be ordinary paid people for the media. Internet will go down. The only news you'll get will be official news, and that will be for 3 days. There'll be a 3-day lockdown, no civilian flights at all. At the end of it, there'll be an announcement which will be, we've defeated the alien invasion. Isn't that fantastic? Unfortunately, there's another one on the way. The only way we can deal with this is if we form a single government, because mankind can only survive if we all work together. So we're going to form a one world government. Now, I understand this means that each nation will keep its own local government. You'll have your own prime minister or your president, but they will have to get the okay on decisions from America. There will be some countries that refuse to do that, but that doesn't matter. They're not the main players. All the big players will do what they're told.
Well, we've said this on the show before, and again, it goes back to the psychology of this. It's basically, if you look at Independence Day, it's the classic. And what I've said before on the show is that if you take a family, and with a normal family, you get infighting between brothers and sisters. But when something from outside challenges the family, they all get together because we're family and we're blood and we're going to protect the family. Okay? So they're going to do the same thing. They're going to have something like this fake alien invasion, and we're going to stop being Irish and English and French and German, and we're going to be humans. And we're all going to get together and we're going to fight these aliens. So, and we spoke to a few people about this, and it's about the amount of money that they can make. They know that the war is on the earth. People are just getting sick of it now. They're fed up with it. And there's so much money to be made. So what they'll say is, now, we have to form this new world government to protect the earth, because if them nasty aliens come down again, we need your money to make technology so we can fight them. So we need you to give us your taxes so we can make all this technology to protect you. This is going to be the modus operandi and how they're going to do it. Well, that's my opinion. And how they will do it. Now, Independence Day is a classic, the movie, for exactly them doing that, having the alien invasion. So, and it has been talked about, this Project Bluebeam, because a lot of people, even Wernher von Braun, we had Carol Rosnan, Dr. Carol Rosnan on, and she was saying about Wernher von Braun, saying the last card they will do is a fake alien invasion, because they just need that little bit more push to get people on their side.
Yes, I mean, I totally agree with you. The one element that isn't widely understood, and I've only spoken on one other or two other radio stations on this particular matter, so I think I would like to just put you guys in the picture. This year, 2013, is the year that, over the Western world, the chipping of mobile phones rolls out nationwide, so that when you go to the supermarket, instead of paying with a credit card, you will universally be able to place your mobile phone on a automatic reader and buy your groceries, or pay for your fuel for your motor car, or pay your tax, or whatever it is. This is a deliberate ploy, because if you walk out onto the street, and I'm just as bad as everybody else, I've got my mobile phone glued to my hand. That's what we do in this society. So after a year or so of placing our left hand or right hand with our mobile phone onto a reader, the next ploy is to say, I tell you what, let's put that chip in your hand. You're used to putting your mobile phone down on the reader, so that's no problem, is it? You just put your hand down on the reader, and we can fix it so that it'll open your garage door for you, it'll turn your lights on. And people will say, oh, that's fantastic, you know, I can go in and it'll just put my hand on a metal plate when I go in, and it'll put the oven on, and it'll put the TV on. But what they don't realise is that your bank account detail will be held in your chip. Your wages, there'll be no wages, it'll just go into the chip. So one day, you go on the internet, maybe on your shows here, and you write something derogatory about the one world government. The next thing you know, your chip's turned off. No wages, no health care, no nothing. And that's the whole point. It isn't just the alien invasion. It isn't just the one world government. It's to control everybody without violence. Because if you can chip 2 billion or 3 billion on the planet, there'll be no demonstrations. There'll be no violence. Because if you demonstrate and you throw a brick or a bomb or a petrol bomb, I just turn your chip off. And that is the agenda. That is what they have. And they're running out of time to do that. They have the technology now. It's called RFID technology. And if anybody wants to go on YouTube, you will find official videos by the American government on YouTube telling people to get chipped. And there are, I don't know if they're actors or what they are, but they're saying, you know, with a terrorist threat, I want my children to be safe. I'm going to get my children chipped. And Obama, President Obama, previous period, passed the healthcare bill, which actually states that all children from 2015 born in a hospital in America must be chipped. And that's actually written into statute. People are not aware of how the rope is being put around their neck. But the evidence is out there. You've just got to go and find it.
That's bad. Well, we have been talking about, again, this RFID and the NFC technology, which is near field communications, and demonstrating how a little bit of software on a phone that has NFC can basically copy a credit card. It can be swiped, it can be cloned. And I've been doing demonstrations and showing people this. Just to make them aware.
Yeah, you have, haven't you?
Oh, I have indeed.
Look at the lovely car you have outside now.
I have to put an accent on, you know, so it's not Irish. Yeah. We better go over to the questions, because I know we have a few questions and we want to get them in.
Yeah, there's a couple of questions coming in from the TNS chat room as well. Simon, one from Steno or Steno. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly. But he's wondering, can you talk about star seeds and what they are for? And also, do you know anything in relation to, this is a subject we discussed there about 2 weeks ago, Organite. Seemingly Organite gets rid of chemtrails, and Steno has first-hand experience, and he's wondering if Organite would also, if it can get rid of chemtrails, would it also be good in relation to holograms as well?
If I take those questions in reverse order, I'm sorry, I've got no knowledge on, what did you refer to it as, Organite?
Organite, yeah.
Organite. Well, no
knowledge on that at all.
Okay.
On the starseed, these are human terms for a phenomena, and there are things like star children, crystal children. There's just a whole plethora of terms for people. In essence, if we accept that the physical body dies and the soul leaves the body and can reincarnate in another body, and if we accept that the soul has an intelligence and can think, then what we're looking at is a soul that volunteers, because it is free will outside of this reality that we live in, to come to Earth to attempt to assist and help. The problem with all this is that when a soul incarnates into a human or largely human body, it completely forgets what it's supposed to be doing. So you have an awful lot of well-meaning people on the internet or walking around thinking, I'm supposed to be doing something good, but I don't know what it is. Perhaps just being here helps and helps to raise the frequency. That I don't know. But I certainly know it's a group of people, there's quite a large number of them, who are not thinking in the same way as perhaps many others think in terms of, you used the term earlier, thinking out of the box. There are an awful lot of people who will not accept the realities around us. And these people tend to be people who have not psychic skills as such, but they're more in touch with nature. They respect animals, they respect the rights of other people, and they're not just simply chasing money, or I want the best phone, or I want this, that. They just want to be happy, have good health, and just get on with their lives. And there are an awful lot of these people now, whereas 20 years ago there were very few. So yes, I understand the terminology, but I don't stick labels on people, I try not to, but it is a real phenomenon as far as I'm concerned, yes.
Okay, excellent. Steve?
Yeah, another question just came in. It's kind of an urgent one, Simon. But can you ask Simon to maybe give us a link or something to the claim that says all babies must be chips, because it's an explosive claim.
Yes,
and
it is.
People want
if you go on to the American, if you get onto their, it's all freedom of information, the healthcare bill. Or if you actually just Google it and go onto YouTube and just type in those words, chipping babies, I'm sure other people have found the link and it'll be there. You will find, they buried it. It came out, I think, just on about the 15th or 16th of December, not this December, the one previously. And they hid it amongst an absolute avalanche of documents. And it wasn't picked up until after it had been ratified and signed into law. And then on the alternative media network, they then picked up on it. But you can actually just go and Google that, and you'll find that.
Yeah, well, I think we're going to have to do that. It's kind of like all these other treaties. What was the Lisbon Treaty and those other treaties that, and we're having referendums here. Or we had referendums here in relation to various different things that we needed to obviously sort out. But everything is kind of hidden, and is kind of different meanings, but you're spot on there. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if this thing is hidden in a document and it's worded in some way that it's just kind of intelligible. But Simon, I want to just say a big hello across the pond, if I may, at this moment in time, because Alan mentioned earlier about the work of Von Braun, and he also mentioned Dr. Carol Rosen. We've just had communication from Carol on Skype. She is actually listening to the show, so I just want to take this opportunity from Alan and myself to just kind of say a big hello to her.
Hello, Carol. How are you doing? Good to hear you. Good to see you on the chat facility, on listening to the show. Right, Simon, we have a little bit of time left. Obviously, we have about 20 minutes or so. So I want to try and focus on solutions. I want to look at the positives. What can we take out of what we've just talked about? And what can people start doing to, you know, put a positive spin on things? What can we do? What can the man in the street do?
Okay, before we do that, let's just quickly go back to what you said. On Facebook, I occasionally chat with Colonel Corso's son. Lieutenant Colonel Corso actually wrote a book about the Roswell UFO crash.
I did
get hold of his son and had a chat with him. During the time that my mother worked for MI5, a conversation came up where it was confirmed that Von Braun was taken along with Albert Einstein to the crash. It wasn't called a Roswell crash then, it was called the New Mexico crashes. Von Braun and Albert Einstein were taken to those sites because the German scientists were the finest in the world at that time. So I just wanted to put that out, to cover back with that. To go through to what you were saying, you've just got to refuse the chip. If anybody wants to chip you, just tell them where to stick it. Also, if anybody in authority tells you something, question it. You know, why should I do that? Why is that the best way? Don't you think this might be a better way? What people have got to do is to stop being sheep, stop falling a line and just jumping over the cliff. Start actually linking up through the internet before it gets taken down. Make groups, make societies, make little clubs, share ideas. I mean, what you're doing with your blog sites and that, and it's fantastic. This is what you need to do. Empower yourselves. People like Jimmy Savile could never get away now with what they got away with before, because people's minds have been opened and people aren't going to be pushed around as much. Ultimately, it is going to be your own military that will decide the situation. I'll give you an example. A year and a half ago, the Israeli Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, ordered his chief of staff to attack the Iranian nuclear facilities and blow them up. And his chief of staff refused. That is unheard of for a head of a military of a country to refuse an order given to him by a democratically elected prime minister. But that happened, and he refused to do it. And this is what I'm hoping we're going to see, where people in the military are going to start refusing to obey orders that would cause great harm.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's more. I mean, even in the last 3 years, Simon, we are amazed at how many people and radio stations and alternative media are beginning to come about. And people are just switching off the TV. And
yes,
they're coming to the likes of OAM and other radio stations for the truth, because they know we are not sponsored by anybody. We're not controlled by anybody. And we give the raw information and let them decide, let them choose what they feel resonates with them. Where the media, you're not going to get an impartial viewpoint. You're going to get a doctored version of what they feel or what they think or what they're told to say. And as a politician said to us over here, when I said I was involved in the alternative media, he said, "Oh, you mean the new media?" So even they are beginning to wake up to the fact that people are just switching off the TV. You look at it, it's
now... Well, that's why you guys are highly respected but in the grassroots. Because if I want to find the truth about what's going on in England, I won't look on an English website. I'll go abroad. I'll go to the Huffington Post, or I might go to an Australian news site, because they will give me far much more information. Talk about the hostage situation with this, the BP oil complex. The BBC was saying one Briton and about three people dead. At exactly the same time, if you went abroad on the other websites, they were telling you the truth. And Britain, England, is one of the most closely controlled societies anywhere on the earth outside of America. It is completely locked down. You all know how many damned cameras there are. in this country. There are more cameras here than any other country in the world now. So if you want the truth in Britain, I'm afraid you have to go outside for it. So what you two guys are doing and your friends and associates is absolutely vital.
No, we appreciate that. Well, what you're doing is, you know, you're putting your neck on the line because you are a Labour councillor. How does that work? What about your colleagues and the people around you? If, you know, they know what you're coming out and talking about this, do they think he's lost the plot? Or, I mean, what is the reception you get with this information?
Well, I am a politician. I am an elected representative of the people. And what's extremely interesting is that on old English statute, which hasn't been repealed, if you're insane, you can't be a politician. You can't be an elected representative. But here I am, I'm elected, so I'm obviously not insane. It's causing the powers that be a lot of problems. If people have listened to any of my conferences or seen any of my YouTube videos, you may have come across the one where my car was rammed off the road by some organisation that was particularly unhappy with what I was doing. But I'm not going to die. My time is not yet. And I will go on speaking the truth as I see it. And there's not very much they can do about it. So it is a problem for them. There was one local newspaper who is owned by a very powerful Mason. And he tried to destroy me politically and failed. I had a couple of people phone up the council saying, can't you get rid of him? And the reply was, Councillor Parks is a highly respected member of this council, only the electorate can get rid of him. And the problem they have, you see, is I went public in 2010 and I was elected in 2011. So the public knew I'd gone public. And what they say to me is, we've seen you on television, we've seen you on YouTube, and you're not frightened to speak. So if I come to you with a problem, I know that you're not going to be stopped by red tape. By council officers. You're not going to be bamboozled. You're going to be the man fighting my corner, fighting my issues, and I trust you. So it's actually had the opposite effect. People actually will smile at me, they'll come to me and very quietly say, I wish I could do what you do, and you know, the government's lying. There's such a lot of resentment out there about people who have get into positions of responsibility and power and then just out for themselves, get as much money as they can. It's theft. It's stealing the public purse. It's stealing. It's theft from you, the taxpayers. And I've been a politician before. I was a local councillor in London, in the London Borough of Hackney. And I did two terms of office. And the second time I stood, I was returned with an increased majority and I gained 75% of the vote. And the leader of the Liberal group on Hackney Council came up to me and said, I'm not putting anyone up against you because I can't beat you. And the Tory man came up and said, I can't beat you, but I have to put someone up against you because it's party policy. Why was that? Because I spoke the truth. And when somebody came to me with a problem, I didn't just say, yeah, yeah, you know, and promise the earth and not do anything. I actually did it. And what the ordinary general public will do is if they see somebody helping them, then they'll support that person. And, you know, in the society, in the corrupt society we live, somebody who's actually not corruptible is extremely dangerous because you can't buy me, you can't threaten me. So what can you do? They've just got to live with me.
Well, either that or they ram you off the road, which you had that experience.
They will never kill me. They can ram me off the road. I'm not going to die.
Okay, just going back to the, but that's brilliant. I mean, it's great that, you know, you have that honesty. And as I say, you know, they say everybody has a price, but some people don't have a price because you can't buy them. And that's frustrating for the elite. When you go back to your, speaking to your interdimensional beings, I mean, I think the feeling across the alternative media side, even though we feel that there is a little bit of progression, sometimes it's two steps forward, one step back in a lot of cases, and we feel frustrated that we want to do so much more but can't. I mean, is there anything that they could intercede with to actually help, you know, in what we are doing? I mean, is this something that you've put to them before?
One of the issues, I mean, do you know a guy called Miles Johnson?
I've heard the name.
Yeah, he's. I don't know which part of the island he's from, but he is from your island. He might be north of the island. He I think was involved in Radio Caroline, and he's very much into that. And he referred to he worked for Sky as well, and he observed some very strange happenings, both at the BBC where he worked and Sky, and some interference on his masts. And he's absolutely of the opinion that mainstream media is absolutely controlled. If you're asking for interceding on your behalf, at that level is not going to happen, because the interceding that's going on at the moment is the destruction of the deep underground military bases, predominantly in America, but there are some under the oceans. The destruction of the rail network that exists under the ground that links these bases. The removal of certain hostile entities from this planet. This is a far more, a bigger agenda. It doesn't mean that what you and your guys are doing isn't important, but until you get the foundations correct, like building a house, you can't build up if it's just going to fall down. So the foundations have to be put right, and then each level or each floor of that building will then have its attention. So in terms of the way the truth is sent out to people, at some point will become an issue. And I think that what you'll find is you'll fall into two camps: those that are prepared to follow the line religiously and those that are not. And there will become a point where people have to choose, which camp am I in? Which side of the fence am I really on? And I think that day is coming.
Mm. Probably sooner than we think. Steve?
Yeah. Someone just posted there about when we were speaking earlier about the media and how what they report and how they report things. And one of the posters just wrote up about the video Unlawful Killing by Keith Allen in relation to Princess Diana and Dodi Fayed. I mean, when you see that, that's supposed to be an actual reproduction or whatever of events that actually took place, and you see the media, and the media they were just kind of getting drip fed what they were to put out, and they all put out the same information. But what can you do? Question from Lord Vapor, actually, Simon, do you have any intel on military bases in Bantry Bay which have UFO craft? That's obviously Bantry Bay here in Ireland.
The only thing I'm aware of is that there is an opening not in the land but in the sea. So, as you know, I don't live near you, but my understanding is that craft can be seen emerging from the water.
Yeah, he goes on to say that Bantry Bay can hold the whole US submarine fleet.
Now, there you go then, yeah. Wow. Yeah, so what I don't know a great deal on that at all, but all I can say to you is that craft will exit and enter via the water. I'm not going to go too much down that line. I know we're near the end of the show, but last time we started talking in detail like this on one radio show, we got cut off. And often, if I go into what I would call deep detail, the internet connection just goes.
Well, we did. Yeah, we did experience something like that yesterday when myself and Steve were working on something, and the internet went down. And unexplainable. Well, I mean, I don't know. We put it down to weather conditions, maybe. I don't know. But Simon. Well, is there anything? Oh, hang on.
Sorry. No, just one last thing before you continue. The fact that Simon, you're so awake, you're in tune with exactly what's going on. Are there any other politicians that you would know, or other councillors that have come to you and kind of asked you to kind of share the information with them? And are there any more like you that, when the time is right, may emerge and say, yes, we're going to stand by Simon, and we're kind of tuned in, we know what's going on? But I know, like, sometimes one or two are afraid to kind of raise their head just for fear of humiliation. But do you reckon there are any more who, when the time is right, will kind of stand up and stand beside you?
The problem that the humanity has got is that when a person gets into office, they then become part of the machinery. And it's very easy to corrupt humans, unfortunately. And they have been sold the line that society will collapse if the truth comes out. There will be mass panic. Religion will, excuse me, religion will collapse. This is all just absolute nonsense. The reality is that people in power don't want to talk about the free energy. They don't want to talk about the cure for cancer. They don't want to talk about the wonderful machines they have, which means we don't need to burn fossil fuels. That's the real agenda. And so, excuse me, so what we've got is a whole host of politicians who know the truth, but are sucked into this. And if they were to come out and say, actually, yes, it's all true, the big question is, well, why for 10 years or 15 years did you not tell us then? So they've been trapped into this system. There are a number of people who do know the truth and would be very useful in a changing environment. But unfortunately, I think we need a completely different system of finding people to lead the human race. I think the idea of party politics is dead. I don't believe that that's necessarily the answer, because surely you want people who understand you and want the best for you, not just because they have a particular colour rosette they wear on their jacket.
I agree with you, Simon. I think the quality of the people that we have in government, especially, well, I'm saying over here, but I know what it's like in the UK as well, that they're not, if they're not prepared to stand on the podium and come out and say what they know, then they're not, they shouldn't be in a position to control the people or manage the people or be elected by the people.
Because
people like...
you know, that's exactly it, but unfortunately that's what the system has for years and years and years. It's... Yeah. You know, some very decent people have been elected and then have been corrupted. I don't mean they steal, but people have come to them and said, well, you can't do this, you have to do it this way. Or, if you don't do this, we'll do that to you. And so they found themselves cajoled and pushed into a corner from which they can't get out of. Now, I never allowed that in the 2 terms of office that I served in local politics in London. I was chair of 2 big committees, you know, I was actually known locally as the Rottweiler, because if anybody came to me and tried to do a dirty deal, I would just bite their ankles off, because I'm not interested in that. I didn't go into politics to make money out of people. I did it because I wanted to help people, because people have the right to look up to those they've elected and expect them to do the very best for them. And, you know, what sort of a society is it where it's acceptable for politicians to break the rules? We have a very difficult situation. I think the whole system has to be turned on its head, and people have to be asked, how would you like to be represented? Not, I'll tell you how you're going to be represented. How would you like to be represented? And do you know what? Most people can't do that because they're too scared to ask the public, because they don't want to hear the truth.
Well,
we
have a party over here called Direct Democracy Ireland. And what we're trying to do is what DDI are trying to do, they're trying to bring in direct democracy, which we had, but was taken out of our constitution. And direct democracy means that the people have the power. And you probably know what it is anyway, Simon. And so we want to bring this back in. Now, the 4 parties that we have in Ireland are, as far as I'm concerned, my own personal opinion, okay, are a waste of space, okay? They're a complete waste of space, okay? Especially when we had the children's referendum recently, and, you know, they all voted yes, and they you know, they shouldn't have done, but they did. So, Direct Democracy are a people's party, and what they're doing is they're trying to get together, so they will have something by 2015, I think, when the next elections are.
Yeah, 14.
14 is it? Even better, 14. Yeah. And we can get rid of these self-serving parasites in the government who think of themselves. And
Simon may even know. I think the videos have gone viral with Ben Gilroy. I'm not sure if you've heard him, Simon, but Ben Gilroy is leading Direct Democracy Ireland. He was asked to join, and Ben is the man who has stopped the sheriffs with just a copy of the Constitution. He's going around the country doing good work and stopping people from being evicted from their properties.
He's doing a great job.
I missed that one. I didn't know of him. No.
Okay. Well, if you go to YouTube later, Simon, and just type in Ben Gilroy, you'll see Ben, and he's the leader of the DDI party. And we've had Ben on the show, and really, really nice guy. He's an electrician. He's not a politician. He's an electrician. He hates politicians, but he does understand that to make changes, you have to go into politics, or, you know, like if you want to have, you know, bent bananas rather than straight bananas, it's all down to politics.
Yes.
Now, we do need a government, because we need an administration to do the day-to-day stuff, but we don't need a government to take our freedoms away, which is what's happening.
Correct.
You know, so this is why we're looking at DDI, as they're not saying they have all the answers, but they're saying they're going to do the best, and if anybody has better ideas, they're happy to take it on. Well, we've reached that time, Simon. This has been really, really enjoyable for myself, and I'm sure Steve will probably agree.
It's gone too quick.
It's gone too quick. So we're going to have to get you back on in a few months' time, I'm afraid, Simon.
That's fine. I'm always delighted to be with you.
Because the information is, I mean, we could probably go off and do another hour and a half and get more into the in-depth on certain topics and subjects. But we just, you know, this is what happens when you get a good interview. The time flies by. But we appreciate you coming on the show. Much appreciated for what you're doing. And
Well, listen, it's not a million miles away from you. In the first weekend of March, I'm speaking at a conference, Planet X Radio in Liverpool.
Oh, excellent.
And if any of you guys are over there, then you should pop in and you know, have a listen.
Well, I'll pass you off to Steve. Steve does the roundup, so you can give Steve all the details there, and we'll get it advertised for you.
Okay.
I do the roundup. It's like, I don't know, like I'm on a horse or something.
Horse me!
Horse me! Oh, yeah. All right. Yeah, Simon, thanks very much from me as well. It's the information has been absolutely fantastic. I know you're on the chat there as well, so you would have seen all the comments that people were kind of bandying about. But Odin Wildhunt is on the chat, and he's that's Andy. Andy's a regular listener, and he's also a good guy. Andy's also over in the UK as well. But do you have a website or any more information or any sites or where people can get more
information? Right, I haven't, but another website called Synchronicity is going to actually link me to theirs, and I shall have that. But there's nothing up and running at the moment. I've just generally gone round the country talking to small groups of people, maybe 10, 15, 20 people in UFO clubs or strange phenomenon clubs. And I don't charge for my time. All I say is, if you pay my fuel to get me to you and back again, that's all I ask, and maybe a drink in the bar. But I spend all my time doing conferences or driving up and down the country trying to spread the message. But yes, I've got to get a website up and running, so that's something that I'm looking to do.
Brilliant stuff. Just very quickly, before we finish up there, Steve.
What?
you want to get the details
yeah.
off Simon?
No, it's, one of the listeners there, Simon, is on the chat. He's saying Liverpool is very, very local. What are the details? I know you said it was Planet X, but...
It's Planet X Radio. And they run two conferences a year in the subject of UFOs and aliens. And I think it's the first Sunday in March. But if you just go on Google, you know, Planet X Radio Conference Liverpool, it'll come up with all the details. I think there are five speakers, and I'm one of the speakers, and I think I'm on for the Sunday.
Well, Simon, what Alan generally does with anyone who's coming on the show, he puts up a page, let's say, with a picture and a little bio of the guest, whomever the guest is going to be, and I know the pages are up there still. So okay. If you can send us on the information, say that the dates or any other changes that may happen, I'm sure we can get it up there, so anyone who's interested can pop along to your page on the OIM site, and they can be informed on where you're going to be.
That's very kind of you. Thank you.
That's no problem. All right, Simon, stay with us there for a minute. We're just going to go off to a musical break, and we'll be back after this.
This is Open Your Mind Radio on OYMIreland.com, CNSRadio.ming.com, and ICRadioNetwork.com.
And we're back, and no, we don't have any Shawadi Wadi. If we do, it's on vinyl somewhere, and it's under wraps, and that's exactly where it's going to stay. Cliff Richard, no. T.R. Dallas? T.R. Dallas?
Who wants Shawadi Wadi? I was a big Shawadi Wadi fan.
Yeah, you can tell.
I used to have the blue suede shoes and the old jacket and stuff.
Yeah, you're still wearing them.
Yeah. But my hair's gone. Okay, just one thing I wanted to say about what Simon said. Simon says... I just realised when I said that, what I just said.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, open your mind is all about opening your mind to everything and keeping an open mind. And I just want to say this to our listeners, that I was a few weeks ago, a chap who I know, kind of, you know, from in the local area, so to speak, came and talked to me, and he has a, let's just say he has a professional qualification in a certain area. Nothing got to do with this, but he's, you know, he's quite with it, you know. But he knows what I do and what Steve does with the radio station, and that our minds are very open. And he came up to me a few weeks ago and said that, you know what I seen the other week, and you won't believe me. And I said, well, look, you know, try me. He said, well, myself and the family were out walking, and it was near kind of dusk, and he said, I seen fairies, right? Now, I kind of looked back, he said, we were walking down a trail, and he said, I called the wife, because the wife, they were all out, the whole family was out, about three kids, and he called the wife, and his wife's a bit skeptical, and he said her jaw dropped, and... when she looked, and she was kind of looking as if to say, I'm looking, I'm seeing, but I'm still not believing. And the reason why I'm saying that is that, you know, unfortunately he didn't have a camera on him, and I just have to go by what he says. But this guy, I know him enough, and he knows what we're into, and I know him enough that he, you know, if he saw it, he said he saw it, and that's the way it is. But the whole point in this is that we are very open to what people have experienced or may have experienced or may have seen. So if you have seen anything or you know anything or you're a whistleblower or anything like that, get in contact with us and talk to us. I mean, evidence is going to be very, very helpful, obviously, because it's only word of mouth. But, you know, at the same time, we're not just going to knock it and say, oh, I don't believe you, you're mad, keep taking the tablets. I think, you know, if you do have something or you're saying something or experience something, by all means, let us know. We won't be mentioning any names. We won't say who you are or where you live or anything like that. But if you do have a story to tell, send it in to us and let us know, because there's a lot of things going on in the universe that we just don't know about, you know. And I'm sure, you know, I mean, if you went back in time to the 1900s and you had to explain the internet to someone in the 1900s, they'd probably think that was the work of the devil or something.
Of course, they would. They think that you were mental.
Yeah, yeah.
Even trying to explain the cell phone.
Yeah, cell phone. Yeah, show them a mobile phone and say, I can speak to somebody across the other side of the world with this little gadget. They'll think, you're mad.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's things that are going on that we don't understand, but maybe in 50 years' time, we'll go, oh, remember that thing? That's what that was. So we're very open-minded here at OIM. And if there's any information or whistleblower information that you want to put over and let us know what's going on to expose this kind of stuff, by all means, let us know. Obviously, it has to be substantiated and evidence would be pretty good. But if you just want to kind of give us a heads up anyway, we're all ears, as they say.
And also as well, if you've seen anyone's work, either website work or YouTube videos, who's kind of involved in the troop movement, who you reckon would probably be a good guest to have on the show, you can, you know, also send the email, drop a name in there, because you know, we don't have all the answers and we don't have all the guests either. So if anyone has someone who they'd like to see on, say drop us that email and Alan will beat their door down.
Yeah, we'll find out.
He'll drag them onto the show
and let us know. But again, thanks for tuning in. Next week's guest, he does have a private message there on TNS, Steve, if you can take that. Doesn't need to be read out, just have a read of it. Our guest next week, and this Lord Vapor will probably like this one, is a lady called Dr. Joy Jeffries Pudge. And she's an author. She has three books. One is called Antichrist, The Cloned Image of Jesus Christ. The other one's called Colours of Joy, and the next one is Eden, The Knowledge of Good and Evil, 666. So next week's show, we'll be talking all about the good, the bad, and the ugly, probably, and about good and evil, and probably a few other things, and maybe it'll tie into what's going on in the world, and any satanic stuff and all that. So if that floats your boat, by all means, listen in next week, and tune in and hear what we have to say. This lady sounds interesting, but if you want to go off to her website, or if you just Google Dr. Joy Jeffries Pudge, that's P-U-G-H, then you can actually check her out and see what you think. Now, we got a message here. I'd like to hear you interview Heather and Tucci Gariff. I take it that's Heather that we were talking to briefly regarding the Native American peoples. Well, Heather's going to be back on the show. We're going to give Heather a full interview. Excuse me, if that's the lady you're talking about. So Heather's going to be back on, and we're going to be talking to her and give her a full interview and tell us all about what's happening there. If there's any other news that you want to tell us about or you come across, thanks a lot for the links, by the way. Loads of links coming in from people, and them links turn into, can, in certain circumstances, turn into interviews, and we get people on and we interview them. We know tonight Andrew Visaggio was supposed to be on, but he had a conference to do and he apologises, but we've rescheduled him for the 3rd of February. So that's 2 weeks' time. So Andrew's going to be back on in 2 weeks' time, hopefully, and then we'll be able to do the talk with Andrew. But I just think Simon's information tonight was very good. And again, open your mind to what's going on. That's what open your mind is all about. But there you go, Steve. What do you, what's your summing up of the show tonight?
I think it's all bunkum. It's all a load of rubbish. Okay. Sorry. No, I know you were chatting away there, but and I cannot multitask. I do apologise. So I'm actually about to be texting back to one of the chaps there on the TNS chat room, and I can't multitask. But no, it was a very good show. I enjoyed it, as I enjoy every show. But yeah, I'm just kind of winging it now.
Okay, no problem. Well, listen, have the guys, everybody who's going to the Sovereign Independent, I'll say Sovereign Independent, the Sovereign Independence Day, turning of the seal. Have a great day. I hope the weather's good. Sorry we can't be there. We'd love to be there. We were there last year. Well, I look forward to the videos, and maybe next year, during the year, we'll try and organise some kind of get-together, and we'll meet up with everybody, and we'll have a big shindig or something like that. But take it easy. Stay safe. Have a good day tomorrow. I hope it goes well, and well done to Billy McGuire, who's going to be there doing the turning of the sail, representing his family and showing that we're all sovereign people. And stand up for your rights. You know, that's what it's all about. Stand up for your rights. Don't take any more crap. And, you know, ask them, where do you get your authority from? That's really the question. Where do they get their authority from? Because if we have a provisional government, then they don't have any authority. So that's the question we have to ask. But on to next week. It's good night from me, Alan James. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, and thank you for that summing up. I'm not sure who Vin has on this evening, but if you'd like to, you know, have more interesting chat and et cetera, stay with TNS Radio, and you'll be taken into the wee small hours of the morning with some, you know, some light entertainment with Vin and the rest of the lads. Yeah, we won't be there tomorrow, but if someone can send us some pictures of the turning of the seal, we can certainly Photoshop ourselves into them. and we're going to organise something as well. We'll probably go down to Dublin Zoo and turn a seal there. That'll be it. Right, good night. We'll do it all again next week. From Stephen George, take care. Bye-bye.